Okay. Welcome to the Sunday Night There's a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at aoaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Carol L. from California, a compulsive overeater from California. Welcome, Kara.
Hi, thank you so much, Chris. Sarah, I know your timing, so I can see you. So just like, you know, in this, in a one is perfect. Thank you. I'm not going to time myself and I will talk forever. So it's all on your shoulders. Hi, I'm Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I'm really honored to be here tonight. I don't think there's any bigger honor than to speak to newcomers and those that are returning to program. I'll try to do my best to let you know what it was like, you know, what happened and what it's like now. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous for 18 years. Maybe before we get too far down, I'll forget. Let me show you. This is a picture. I'll show you an older picture. So there's a picture there. It's not my heaviest, but that's just one I had on the computer, so it's pretty easy. But that's me probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And you're like, what? You've been in program for 18 years. Yeah, it's been a long 18 years. I will say those 18 years, I will say I was abstinent, and I think all of those 18 years led up to the recovery that I had today. It just got more and more as I went until about 3 years ago. I had a really big spiritual awakening. Just a little quick history about me. I am a 1980s stereotype of middle child, latchkey child, divorced family. So if you just look, you know, if you look up, you know, 80s latchkey child, I'm there. That's me. So I'm not going to go into too much about that. But if you know that era, then you'll know who I am. You know, I have an older sister who is tall and thin, and a younger brother that we used to call the golden boy because everybody adored him. And I do adore him. I do have a good relationship with both of them today, thankfully. And they were both athletic and I was autistic. So sports, not my thing. I played musical instruments and I was in marching band. Yay, band geek. So, you know, my PE was marching around on a field. That was my PE. And so I don't think I was really, really heavy, but I was always, you know, a little slightly chubby. I was never, I've never had a flat stomach in my life. I still don't. And I always felt it, you know, in the era I grew up in elementary school and things, clothes were very tight and, or short. You know, we had we had these little dolphin shorts, you know, and if you're my era, you know exactly what I mean. And I just never quite fit into the trend, right? And it kind of continued through junior high, a little slightly on the, you know, heavier side, but nothing too bad. And I got in high school and that's when I discovered that I could just not eat. And when I didn't eat, then I lost a bunch of weight and everybody was happy with me. Oh, and I will tell you the approval seeking and judging my value by what you thought of me was my baseline. I've worked several fourth steps over the last 18 years. And I will tell you, my umbrella fear is that I'm not enough. So I go into every situation, I'm not enough until you tell me I'm enough. And So I'm not enough, so I might as well eat. Things happened into my life. And it was always this bouncing around where I could, like, I would put on weight and then I would restrict and I would take off the weight. And then I would think that sense of control and power, right? Anytime I dieted and took off the weight, that was like, I'm powerful, right? And I had control. And then I just started controlling everything around me because I was never comfortable with who I was. And food was that either I controlled it and I had power over it, or I was just eating because it felt good. You know, there's a part in the doctor's opinion and it says, they're restless and irritable and discontented unless they can again experience the ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks or bites, which they see others taking with impunity, right? And I did, I saw others around me. I mean, you know, I saw really, really thin girls and they would eat all the French fries and they would do all that stuff. And I would, you know, and in those moments of control, oh, I was so mean and so controlling. And I just watched everyone around me and just wanted to do what they were doing. Right. So moving forward, you know, I got into my highest weight in college because I just got, I just was like, I'm just going to eat. I just want to eat. I had a boyfriend and he liked to eat. I eventually married that man. And I used to say, we're not big drinkers. We don't do drugs, but we like to eat. And we would eat together and I got to my highest weight. And then I did a pay and weigh and I lost like 70 pounds, right? And I thought I had the key. And then I gained weight back. And then when I got married, I went on one of my little Melba toast and raw vegetable diets, which I, if you don't know what Melba toast is, it's like eating cardboard. And that was my powerful diet. And I got down really thin at my wedding, right? And my girlfriend said, you know, you shouldn't lose any more weight. And I thought that was a compliment. I mean, she goes, your face is getting like sunken. And I was like, yeah. And I went to get my wedding dress fit. And the seamstress was like, you lost more weight. And I was like, yeah, you know, I didn't see that as a disease, right? I saw that as being successful. And so here I am, I'm like the thinnest ever at my wedding. And my mother-in-law had given me some fabric to have another dress made. And my mom was like, hey, you probably shouldn't have that dress made right now. And I was like, why? I'm going to stay this thin forever. Yeah, forever is like, what, 2 days, you know? And good thing I never had that dress made because it would not fit today. but so it was more that yo-yoing. And then I got married and then I had a couple kids. And then I just, life got more and more unmanageable. And I was just this kind of like trying to control everything around me, trying to control my children. And they were little. And then my husband. And I remember waking up one day and just looking at my husband and saying, I can't diet anymore. Because what would happen was every morning I would wake up and I would say, all right, you know how to do this. You know how to eat Melba toast and raw vegetables. You know how to have, I had this like diet breakfast that was my diet breakfast. Didn't have much flavor also. And I would start with my diet breakfast. I would eat my diet breakfast. And then by lunch, I'd be eating all day long. And then I would get to the evening and I would be demoralized and I would be filled with guilt, right? After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. And unless this person can experience the entire psychic change, which is a spiritual awakening, there will be very little hope of his recovery. And this is on page XXIX in the big book in the doctor's opinion. That describes me exactly. That's me, right? Go to bed every night. Tomorrow will be different. Get up and I'm filled with remorse, right? And I make a firm resolution. And then the next morning I eat that diet breakfast and then I continue to compulsively eat all day long. And it was so, And it just looked at my husband. I was like, that's when I realized I can't diet. I don't know how. I can't, I just, it's beyond, you know. I used to be able to yo-yo because I could still do it. And here I was like 34 years old and I couldn't lose the weight again. I had a couple babies. So I couldn't even blame the weight on the baby weight, right? It was, darn it. I mean, I could say it was baby weight, but it really, we all know it wasn't baby weight, right? I know it wasn't baby weight. And it was just at my lowest. And I had just kicked my husband out of the house, and it, you know, and we were in therapy, and our therapist had said something that she was in 12-step program. And that's 10. That's perfect. Because I'm about to move on to what happened. This is exactly what happened. Perfect, Sarah. Thank you. And so I went there and I said, I probably need, she said she was in Readers Anonymous. And I said, I probably need that. Like I knew. And I walked into my first meeting. I still pop into that meeting every once in a while. And there was a longtime member moving and everybody was full of, I'm going to miss yous. And they were using terms like abstinence, and they were talking about steps, and they were doing it. And I was like, I don't know what this means, but I know that I couldn't leave. And I will tell you, the only thing that I've done perfectly in 18 years is never leave. I have a mentor here. I will say I'm blessed. You know, the birthplace of OA is a half an hour from my house, right? 45 minutes. So our meetings here in Southern California area, it's not uncommon to have people 20, 30, and 40 years of recovery in our meetings. And I mean, one of my mentors here has 44 years of recovery, and they're still, and I have two other people in the meeting who are like same, right? They're right behind her. And they look at each other, probably four or five. So when I say 18, I feel like I'm a baby still. And there, so one of my mentors, she would always say, if your butt is in the chair, you're in recovery. You know, you might not have had that spiritual awakening yet, but never leave. Because I will tell you, you saw that picture is probably 6 years old, right? I've gained weight, I've lost weight, you know, it's happened in this program, but I just never left. I never left. And so coming back from things wasn't as hard because I was still here. You know, so just don't leave. Keep your butt in the chair. You know, do your work, but never leave. Never leave, right? And you will soon find out, like I found out, that life in the rooms is so much better than out of the rooms. You know, even if you're struggling in the rooms, it is so much better because at least you're struggling with people who get you. You know, that was me. I'm struggling with people that get me. So I went to this meeting about 6 weeks in. I got a sponsor. And she took me through the steps. It was very different than I would do today. We did use the big book, but we did some other things too. And it took a while. I remember, like, she gave me my fourth step. She goes, if you're not done in a year, which I can't believe she said this to me, then we should talk, right? And so I was like, all right. So I worked the steps with her, and she was my sponsor for the first 12 years in this program. She moved away at that point, and that's why she's not my sponsor anymore. But I am blessed. I go to the birthday party. It's just down the way from here. And I get to listen to incredible speakers from around the world come to speak there. And when I was 6 months in, I had somebody in one of the meetings going, we're going to the birthday party. You're coming with me. And that's where I first heard one of the speakers that I call one of my mentors today. And he was speaking, and I knew I was in the right place. I was at, you know, with all these other compulsive overeaters and undereaters and restrictors and bulimics and anorexics, and, you know, and I just knew at some point it would work. And what gave me the most hope in the rooms, even when I had gained some weight, I mean, in the very beginning, Pink Cloud lost a lot of weight. Yeah. But then it kind of slowly crept on over the years. And I used to have, there used to be a big speaker, he's still here, but he would always say, he'd say his abstinence, and then he'd go, Yeah, if you just compared your abstinence to my abstinence, you haven't been in long enough. You know, and then he'd say, and if you haven't been in 10 years, you're still new. And I clung on to that, like, okay. And then there were these old timers in my, you know, long timers in my meetings who said it took them 8, 10, 15. One of my dearest friends in this program said it took her 22 years to have like that spiritual awakening, but it came, right? So that was my hope, and I never left. I saw these people and these mentors of mine in program, and I said, okay, I trust. I'm gonna trust because I see, you know how when you walk in the room and there's like somebody with the light, you know, the light in their eyes, you know that they've had a spiritual awakening as the end result of these steps, right? And you just kind of find yourself, you know, getting near them. Right. Like trying to like the little moth surrounding their light. Right. And I was like, I just got plugged. Hold on.
There we go.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Okay. So I would wanted to be one of those people. Right. I wanted to be those people that was the light. And it just, I knew I hadn't hit it. And about 3 years ago, I had a sponsor, but we weren't really working. I had worked the steps a couple times and been through it, but my life had gotten to a point where it was unmanageable, you know, and life got busy again. I started kind of eating a little extra again. My abstinence wasn't super, super tight at that time. I have been abstinent, I would say, almost the whole entire 18 years. It's just my abstinence has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter, right? I did the best I could with help from my higher power to like figure out what are my alcoholic foods and what am I, you know, as it says in the doctor's opinion, what am I, you know, what is my allergy? You know, what is my alcohol that I sets off my phenomenon craving, right? And so about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, I had a fellow and we were good friends and we used to send our food back and forth to each other. And I had a resentment with her and we were on the phone and I was like talking to her and we were talking about it. And she says to me, she goes, well, I reworked my steps in this new way and I found it very helpful. She always says that to me. She's my sponsor now. She always says, I found that very helpful. You know, she never tells me to do anything. She always says, I found it very helpful. And I was, all right, you know, and I said to her, I still remember where I was when I said it. I said to her, I can't believe I'm saying this, but would you retake me through the steps? I think I need to go through the steps again. And I kind of took her by the side and she's like, yeah, we'll do it. And I don't know, but I will say 15 years in, that's how long it took me to really get a huge spiritual awakening. All those 15 years before, I think built to it because I know I grew spiritually. I know I had physical recovery. I know, you know, I know that all those things were building, but to the snapping point of food neutrality, to the snapping point of I rely on my higher power, it was this last time I went through the steps with her. And I don't know what was different because it wasn't like my fourth step was different. It wasn't, you know, or any of the other times that I did the fourth steps that they were wrong or they weren't done right or anything like that. But there was the change. There was the, and I don't know how to explain it, but I worked the steps again and we worked fast. And I'll tell you though, this is a good fellow and a good friend of mine who I just was like, she'd tell me to do things. I'd be like, I just want you to know, I'm calling you a name in my head right now, but I will do it. And I did it. And I knew instantly too, as we, oh, she's so wonderful too, because me, my little controlling self, the first call we had to work on things, I said, oh, I can't work on these days. And blah, 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 blah. And I was putting all these boundaries around it, right? And she said to me, she goes, well, maybe this isn't a good time for us to do this. You can let me know. And oh, don't you tell me that, because I'm a good girl and a good student. And you know, so then I was like, all right. And I dove in and I worked, right? And we worked fast. We went fast. And that's how I take my sponsees through now is I'd say moderately fast. We usually, usually ends about 2 to 3 months when I'm working with sponsees through the 12 steps. It's not the really fastest 7 days, but it's usually about 2 to 3 months. And we got through the steps. We started at the end of October, and on January 1st, I would have said I was recovered by January 1st. I remember it was December 31st. We took a phone call, and I'm like, we got to finish this up because I want to start the new year recovered. I want to be recovered in the new year. And the truth was I was already recovered by then, right? It was just finishing up the step work. And I knew instantly, like, okay, you said, Kara, you can't eat from these three categories. I had kind of danced around it, but then I was just like, these three categories, that's it. You can't eat from them. And I will tell you, I am dead serious about that because it is my alcohol. I read labels. If I think, you know, if I think it might have any of these three categories, thank you. I see that, Sarah. Sometimes I just say to myself, Kara, you won't starve if you miss this meal. I think I'm going to starve, by the way, everyone. I do. I really think I'm going to starve. But sometimes I just have to say to myself, you know, Kara, you're not going to starve if you only eat salad at this meal because nothing else is here that you can eat. Or if they put salad dressing on the salad and you're just having some meat, you'll be okay, I promise. You know, and I sometimes have to tell little Kara that it looks okay. You're going to be okay. You know, and I bring food places, you know, Friday night I was at an event. I knew what they were having and it wasn't technically okay. I could eat it, but it wasn't something I love. So I brought something that was absent, you know, it was totally fine. And I love it. I'll tell you, I eat well. There's a lot of things I don't eat, but I eat well what I do eat. I'm a cook, and so I cook really well. I grow a lot of my own things. We're blessed here in California. I have a long growing season. And I make most of my food from scratch because that's just the kind of cook I am. It makes a heck of a lot easier too because box things always have ingredients I can't have. So I cook. What happened during this time? What is it? You know, that's what happened. But what is it like now? What does my life look like now? Well, I will tell you, when they say, you know, if you've had a spiritual awakening, I've had a spiritual awakening. You know, I did have a spiritual experience that has contributed to my spiritual awakening, right? And it came back. Do you remember that overall fear that I had that I wasn't enough? Well, I was always looking to others to tell me that I was enough, that I was okay. And I just remember one day I was sitting there and I was working yet another step 10 on, you know, not feeling enough. And I just heard and felt in my soul this presence saying to me, am I not enough for you? And it was the moment I woke up and said, my higher power, that's the only person, only entity that I need approval from. And when I got that approval from my higher power, I know when I fall into those character defects and I see that, it's because I'm seeking approval from other people, you know. And once I had that big spiritual awakening, it was so much easier for me to trust that a higher power was there taking care of me. What it looks like today, I pretty much ask my higher power's opinion on everything. If you've ever heard me speak before, I ask about what should I wear, what color, well, I don't wear lipstick anymore because of masks, but you know, which outfit I asked today, what outfit, what should I have for breakfast? And I just ask for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision, right? As it tells us to, on I think it's page 87, on awakening. And I just go with whatever's intuitive. I don't think my higher power is always talking to me. Like, you know, there's no burning bush or I'm going to hear voices, but I practice listening to the intuition. You know, when I ask for inspiration or intuition or decision, I practice listening to that. And I always tell my sponsees, look, practice. Ask about your choice for breakfast. You know, what do you think I should have for breakfast? And go with whatever's intuitive, right? Or ask about like, oh, do I want to wear these shoes today or these shoes today? Or what shoes? I'll tell you almost every day, I have a vision what I'm going to wear in the day when I ask. It just comes to me. And I usually just go with whatever it is. Now, in the beginning, I wore some really funky outfits, just so you know, but it's practice, right? It's always practice. And so I continue every day. There's small moments in the day. I just keep asking, what I have learned. I'm super dumb. And the dumber I am, the stronger my program is. Because I ask my higher power for help. I ask my power for, higher power for intuitive thought and inspiration or decision, right? I say, I have made a right mess of this and I need help. I don't know how to do this. Part of my thing was I thought I know. If we're looking at my character defects, when I have to inventory, I will tell you my top character defects. Selfish. I think I'm right and you're not following my plan. Dishonest. I think I'm going to die and not be okay unless you follow my plan. And I'm not allowing you to do you, right? Self-seeking. Oh, I'm the victim. You're doing something to me because you're not following my plan. And the fear is I'm not enough because you're not following my plan. And you're telling me that my plan sucks and I might be dumb. You know, those are the ones that come up continually over and over again, right? So those are the ones I'm like, God, you know, please remove my character defects and fears and direct my attention to who you'd have me be. And I go with it, you know, and I just go with it today. Food, total food neutrality today. I don't even care. You know, had a holiday meal with my family last weekend. They're eating all sorts of stuff. And I'm just like, I had like, you know, a salad and some oat bread I made. And I was happy. I didn't even really realize that I was eating totally different from everybody else, because actually, instead of looking and seeing what everybody else was eating and comparing it to mine, today, I actually make conversation. I'm actually interested in you and not what's in front of me, right? It makes it so, you know, and it wasn't the white knuckling, because when I'm white knuckling and saying I'm eating the salad, but everybody else is eating something else, that's not neutrality, right? For me, that's me trying to control the situation, right? But when I'm just like, oh, I'm eating something else. Okay, let's move on. That's neutrality for me today. So I have total food neutrality. My day usually looks up. I get up around 6-ish, depending on the day. I spend time with my higher power. I gotta spend some time. If I'm building that relationship, I gotta put some time into that relationship. So I usually meditate. I write a gratitude list out. My gratitude list, you know, is for everything. I don't put just what I think are good. I just put anything that comes to my mind goes on my gratitude list. So sometimes people see my list and go, why are you thankful for COVID? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just know it came to mind. So I put it down and I don't know. There's been a lot of things in my life I thought should go a certain way and went a different way. And when I let it go, it actually was better the other way, right? So if I kind of kept it to my way and not my higher power's way, it probably wouldn't work out. And then I say, you know, I say to my higher power, is there anything that I need to inventory this morning? And if there is, I write a step 10 and I inventory it. And then I usually, by then, I pop onto the I'm a vision for you. I listen to the, it's 7 a.m. for me, but it's the 10 o'clock Eastern Standard meeting. And I do service on that meeting once a week. And I try to at least speak once a week on the meeting, just so that people know who I am and I can feel part of the meeting, right? And then I usually take sponsees. That's from 7 to 8 and 8 to 9. And I usually take sponsees for the next hour. And that brings me through, you know, the most of my day. And then I usually have a step 10 call at some point during the day. And then at night, I do my review. You know, I do the 10 questions that are in the big book. And I go through my review. I send my food to my sponsor. And then I just say to God, God, please forgive me of any of my trespasses today and give me a clear direction tomorrow how I can be better serve you. When I go to bed, 1 minute, see right there. And so today it's a beautiful thing. I also do service in other meetings. Here's another thing that happened in my life. All of a sudden I have international fellows. I have international, my step 10 partner, in Switzerland right now. I have a sponsee in Ireland. I have a sponsee in London, one in Germany. Used to have a couple in South Africa, plus sponsees that are here, right? If you had asked me if that was the way my life was going, I would have been like, what? You know, that I would be able to talk to fellows from around the world. And it's incredible. My life is incredible today. I still, my husband's still my husband. We've been married, still the man I was dating when I was 19, still here, working every day in that relationship, right? My kids are grown and I work every day on being a present mother, letting them, they're 21 and 23. So I work every day and letting them be themselves, right? And not me being, you know, in charge of them. You know, my food, I have food neutrality today. I'm blessed by this fellowship. This fellowship around me, you know, if you're new or you're returning, just start calling people, because there are so many people who just want to be of service. There's so many people to keep their abstinence, or, you know, when you call somebody, not only are you being doing service there, but you're also getting back, right? And so, you know, I try to make outreach calls or texts or whatnot. And I think, Sarah, that's probably over a minute, right? Yeah. All right. See, I told you I can talk for a long time. But thank you so much for being here. This was an incredible way to spend my Sunday afternoon. The sun has gone down while we're talking here in California. So I'm going to pop up real fast and turn on my light, and I'll be right back. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much, Kara.